He's worthy of it. Come over your lips to the rest of the world around us as we declare this. There is no shadow. Come on. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't break down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Come on. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No mountain you won't kick down, high you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. says in the book of Romans chapter 8, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Paul asks the question and then he answers it. Nothing, no one can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he gives example after example after example of what could separate us but can't. Because God's love is so much stronger than what me and you could ever imagine. And think about this. If the value of something is dependent upon what you're willing to pay for it, and Jesus Christ gave his life, our Father said, I will give my only begotten Son for you. That makes you and I the most valuable possession, thing, whatever you want to call it, on the face of the earth. But not just in this earth, but this universe. That's how much he loves us. I think animals are great. They're awesome. I think we ought to treat them with respect. But they're not more valuable than us. Because Jesus didn't come to die for the dogs and the cats and the mooses and the snakes. He came to die because he knew that we needed him. Because he had put his breath of life in us. Not in the animals, but in us. Making us in his image. So we're going to sing this again. We're going to sing that chorus again. Excuse me, that bridge. What shadow he won't light up. The shadows in your life, the shadows in your own heart. God says, I'm going to shine the light of my glory into those areas, not to expose them and you go, look how bad you are, but to say, look at what you're giving up for my love. And when you begin to compare it, you go, it's nothing. It is absolutely nothing compared to that. There's mountains in your life that you don't think you can get over. God says, I'm going to climb over them. Coming after you. I'm coming after you. We were lost, not God. He found us. So we're going to sing this again. I want you to sing it like you mean it. Deep inside your soul. And not letting anything else keep you from telling God how good he is to you. Come on, sing it out. No shadow you won't light up. No mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. You won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Sing it again, no shadow. You want.
to you this morning. And in Malachi 3, the angel of the army of the Lord is proclaiming the coming of Jesus. And in it, it says, "But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. When we submit ourselves to his hand," there's this picture, if you know anything about refining silver or gold or precious metals, and it's not the metal that's removing the impurities from itself, but it's the fire that the refiner puts it through to draw all of those things out of it that are not pure, and all of those things out of it that would keep it from being the best that it could be. And they will rise to the surface so that he can just wipe it off. And I mean, if you've been walking with the Lord at any time, length of time, you know that fires happen. And he has you walk through things that are incredibly uncomfortable. But it's a process of purifying us so that we can be consumed by his purity and be consumed by him. And in the lyrics of this song, it's very simple. It's this request of this picture. This is like a cult of fire. I succumb to your flame. Have your way in me. Purify me until I'm ashes and flame. Consume me, and I will never be the same. Purify me until I'm ashes and flame. Have your way in me. And it's a prayer that I believe, as brothers and sisters of the body of Christ, that if we submit ourselves to the Lord, regardless of the amount of heat that we're in, there is this process of purifying that is going to bring us into this place where we can be used by him. And we look so beautiful because of his hand and because of what he's done. So if that's your heart toward the Lord this morning, as we go through this song, once you pick up the melody, just sing along with me.
Like a coal to the fire. Pure.
share a verse with y'all. Luke 27-36 says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give everyone who asks you, and even if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do unto others as you would have them do to you." Now, I wanted to share that because a lot of people in the world are going to try to bring you down. And instead of God says not to get revenge, but to pray for them. And I just wanted to share that with y'all because y'all are going to have to face that. And I just pray over that. Dear Lord, thank you for the day you made for us, God. Help us, give us the ability to pray for our enemies and forgive them. Forgive and forget, not to hold grudges, God. Treat them as we want to be treated, God. Just pray that we can do this. In your name I pray, amen. Good morning. Thank you for being on this beautiful Sunday. We're glad to have you at our church. It's time to be excited. Summer's almost here. Yeah. Go swimming. I had a swimming party yesterday, and I got sunburned, like, really bad. So I'm still kind of feeling that right now. Just letting y'all know. And it's not even summer yet. And, like, the thing about sunburns, I didn't really notice it until about, like, a couple people told me about it. So when I went and checked in the mirror, you ever heard the saying that you can't feel if it, you don't know it, like, you can't, it doesn't hurt you if you don't know that's going on. Well, as soon as I realized I had a sunburn, then that's when it kicked in. It started peeling. Whew. Anyways, first time visitors, let's give a hand clap for them. We're glad to have you here. If you walk through those double doors, we have a gift for you. You turn to the left, there's a little table. It might be some mints, it might be a gift card. It doesn't hurt to find out what it is. Or a minute.
Good morning, ladies. I just want to remind you about the Propel Activate Conference coming up Saturday, October 6th in Kenner. This is a one-day event filled with great speakers like Lisa Bevere, Christine Kane, and Lisa Harper. Worship will be led by Jen Johnson. We have a limited number of tickets available in the bookstore that we got at a special price of just $58 per person. So come get yours today. Don't wait or you might miss out.
One of Resurrection Life's five DNAs is that we believe in the priesthood of the believer. What that basically means is that we believe that you can connect with God yourself. We believe in it so much, that's why we have built a building specifically for that reason, at our prayer building. It's located on South Hall. You can go there 24/7, anytime during the day, anytime during the night. All you have to do is call the church office and get the code to get in.
This is going to challenge you as a man more than anything you've ever done in your life.
Don't think of it as a battle you're just fighting for yourself.
It wasn't just for us. It was for our family.
You'll renew the structure of your mind. It's the way you think. When we realize trying harder is not going to work, and we understand grace, then all of a sudden we can start moving into sweet revenge.
And as I watch the Conquer series, I not only believe what they're saying is true, but I think it could be true for me.
It works. It's freeing men.
So we can be more than a conqueror for our daughters and for our sons.
The Conqueror series is helping you develop a battle plan for purity. And we'll be doing it Friday, July 20th from 7 to 9 in the evening. And then Saturday, July 21st from 9 in the morning till noon. And it's for men and women ages 10 and up. It's $5 to register, and it's for your own personal manual, and you can register online or in the app.
Hey everybody, my name's Jack.
And I'm Casey.
And we have youth camp coming up. It's going to be for 7th graders through 12th.
The dates are June 18th through June 22nd, and the cost is only $200.
And if you register now in the month of May, it'll only be $6.66. Sign up now, it's only going to be $65 for the sign up fee, but if you wait till June, you slackers, it's going to be $75. You can sign up on the website or on the app.
We have a special group with us today that we want to honor and take a few moments just to say, to pray over them and give them a gift. If you are graduating from high school or college, come on down.
Presley,
you know.
Yeah. Look at all these beautiful people.
Come on.
Come on, line up front.
First of all, Brent, I want you to go down the line. Tell us where they're graduating. Where's Josiah, man?
Josiah, where are you hiding out? Get over here. Oh, you know what? He's probably running the cameras in the back.
Well,
we got you, homie.
All right.
So this is, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, and I'm going to have you say where you're graduating from.
Okay, I'm Hannah Adams. I'm graduating from Pekin.
All right, come on.
Pekin,
who are you, ma'am?
I'm Kate Spears. I'm graduating from Pekin.
Hi.
Casey Holyfield from PRC.
What's up, Stud?
Cole Arthur from Pekin.
There he is.
Samantha Burkett, graduating from Pekin.
I'm just getting a mistake.
Elisha Hickman, Pekin.
Yeah.
Lala Voss, PRC. Lala.
Kylo Dobbs from Hancock.
I'm Beth from PRCC.
Morgan Marullo from Northlake Christian School.
Greg LaCroix, Liberty University.
Mom. Oh. Oliver Barber, homeschooled.
Homeschool.
Wyatt Sampson from PRC.
Destiny Jones, Pekin. Samantha Webb, Pekin.
Come on.
Wait a minute. Hey, turn his mic down. Where? I don't know you. Where are you from?
From Pekin.
From Liberty University.
Yeah, I just go to school online.
Come on.
Right on.
I like a man.
I got something for
hey,
you. And I want
man.
You.
What'd you graduate with?
A degree in medical assisting.
Medical assisting. Come on.
Woo.
I might need medical assistance one day.
Manna has a wonderful plan for your life. Come on now. I want to read a scripture to you guys because I think it's important to give perspective. If the world could do any one thing to you, it can convince you of its own importance. And there is no importance inside this world aside from the eternal purpose of Christ. As you go out into the world, studies will consume you. College goers, those that are graduating from college, know that the world is after your time. And that's why Christ created something called tithe, and he created this certain portion of giving back, not just your efforts, but the best of your efforts, to remind you of your eternal purpose in this world. And so I have a gift I want to give to you, but I don't want to just hand it to you and have you not understand the depth, the seriousness of what you're doing. And what we're celebrating with you. And so I'm going to read a scripture to you. That's what we do here in churches. We read scriptures. And I'm actually going to pull it up. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Listen to this. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither... He will neither fail you nor abandon you. I want to preach you straightforward. For those who are with me on Wednesday night, I don't play around with this one statement. I never promised you that if you serve God with all your heart, it was going to be easy. Like God's going to go in front of you and clear away all the trials and circumstances. In fact, I promise you one thing. If you serve God with all your heart, there will be a line of difficulty in front of you that is impossible for you to overcome on your own. That's the message of Jesus Christ. If we learn who he is and what he said about you, but he gave you hope, and it was that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That the world could throw everything at you and it would fail if your central point was him. And so he goes before you. But as he goes before you, consider where you're running. Consider how hard and what you're putting your efforts to. And always, always, always Give God the best and the first of your actions and your hopes and what you try to do. I hope you run. I hope you run well. But as you run, put Christ as that center mark and you'll never fail. The world will come against you, but you'll always succeed. I have something to remind you. Take one out of there. There's these cute little boxes. Show off my boxes. Aren't those cute? Yeah, come on. It's a lot of effort in that. You can take one out of here. Take one down. Pass it around. There you go. Inside of there is inscribed on this a scripture just to remind you. It's just a little keepsake for you to remember your purpose and your calling. If I can have our elders and our pastor come forward, we're going to lay hands on you, pray for you in your journey. If I run a little shy, have some more after you. Just get with me after service. I think I have enough.
Hey, some of you men and some of you ladies, I would like you to come lay hands on some of the females, okay? And here's the word I gave. That we should be so prepared at this point that you're our answer to what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
We're sending you out. You're our answer to what's going on in the world. So extend your hands this way, okay?
Come on. Father God, I thank you for hope and destiny. I thank you for a purpose that the world would put itself against it, was never more sure, was never more confident, was always stable and always able in Christ. I pray that you would put inside of them a fire that they could not put out, one that would rise up inside of them and help them to fulfill the destiny and the purpose that you called them to. That you say that you're the head and not the tail. He calls you above and not beneath. He says greater. He didn't just call you conquerors. He said you're more than conquerors. And as they go in confidence, not in who you say you are, but in who Christ said you were. Lord, and I pray, Jesus, that you'd help them to overcome the world. I pray that they would go out of here and be a part of what you're doing. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Coming to him as to the living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones. Remember we talked last week about building. Jesus wants to build. We are the living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Is there anybody here who believes on him? Well, for the 15 of you, you're glad. The rest of you must be going to hell. And he who believes on him by no means be put to shame. Anybody in here believe on him? Thank you. Wow. Don't get me upset before I even get started. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are, everybody say he's talking about me, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's pray. Lord, I can't do what needs to be done. And so, Father, I yield to your spirit. I yield to your just to you, Lord. let people hear what you want them to hear. Lord, let people just hear your heart. And God, I ask you to be with us. In your name we pray. Amen. One of the things I take very very seriously is what I preach. I can buy books that give me sermons to preach, but I also am very convicted that by the Bible says. I had an argument with the Lord about this verse one time. Of course, I lost. But through the foolishness of preaching, men are saved. That's what the Bible says. Men's hearts are changed through the foolishness of preaching. I said, God, you called me to do something and turn around and call it foolish. And I take that very seriously. And I pray and I ask the Lord, this has been a bad week for me. And this has been a tearful week. I'm not a sad person. If you know me very often, very long, I believe there is gold at the end of the rainbow. I plan on gathering it up at the end of my rainbow. But I've been exceptionally sad this week, and I've tried to control it, and I get in my office and get alone, and I couldn't. Because I've done something I said I'd stop doing. I said I was going to stop watching the news. And so I broke my rule. Todd gave me a new iPad that has the news on it. And I'm overwhelmed at what we have lost. I mean, when you have a teenager, I started trying to ask myself a question. How low do you have to get to be, how alone do you have to feel to go to a school and kill other children? Just for attention. I mean, I just sat there and wept, and I just said, me and Amy tried to grasp, how low do you have to go to torture other people so you can feel better about yourself? I mean, what have we lost that is just, I read a story about a mother. Now, Amy, you know, she's loving and kind and loves Jesus, but if you mess with her children, man, she turns pretty scary. I've had to leave the room. I said, you boys are on your own. I'm out of here. Where a mother sells her 5-year-old and 7-year-old daughters to these creepy old men for sexual favors, for drugs. Their 5-year-old and 7-year-old daughter to these, I might add, these old men that constantly watch pornography. And I just felt myself, you know, I told myself the other day, I said, you know, I'm the preacher, I get to preach, I think I'm just going to explode. Because our country has lost what the very thing that we possess. The people in our country have lost a sense of identity. They've lost a sense of worth. See, how can I value you if I don't even value myself? If there's no value in me and I think I'm worthless, then heck, I think you're worthless too. We've lost our sense of value. Fathers don't give a crap about their children. And so they're crying out. We've lost our sense of belonging. I sit there and listen to them talk about gangs that they're killing people and they're selling drugs and they're hurting elderly and all this stuff. And they say, I need to be a part of that. Because I need a sense of belonging. There's no purpose. You got kids graduating college that have no idea and no direction. There's no sense of value. We've lost. Your fathers can just walk off and leave their children because they don't value them anymore. And I came here this morning and I'm just sharing my heart because I knew what sermon I had put together already. I came here this morning thinking, I'm just going to explode. But let me say something to you about the Lord. First of all, the anger of men. See, I mean, don't you want to just go to Washington and slap everybody? I mean, you got all these problems and they're arguing about stupid stuff. I don't care what party you are. You shouldn't be any party because they're all ding-dongs. They just want power. Why don't we start guarding? Why don't we start, let's all group up and shoot. And we see somebody walking up with a trench coat, we shoot first. And I'm standing back there this morning. I come in early. And I'm building in my flesh, I'm building this anger. And all of a sudden a scripture pops in my mind and says, the anger of men does not accomplish the purposes of God. And I said, Lord, I don't even want to listen to that. I'm just mad. And then all of a sudden, probably the most unassuming lady in our church. She's very soft-spoken. She's the kind of person that can come in and out if you don't make a point to speak to her. Gosh. And I'm working up this lather in my flesh. Where I think, let's just go hit somebody. And she walks up to me and says, Brother Allen, We've been trying to get pregnant since 2006. Now, if you know, that's 12 years. We went to fertility, it didn't work. Waited a few years, went back to fertility, and it didn't work. He said, before last Sunday, the Lord asked me, he said, why have you stopped praying? She said, and y'all had that prayer, and I wasn't going to come down. And the Lord said, why have you stopped praying? And I came down. And she said, I don't know why I did, but last night I took a pregnancy test. And she said, I'm pregnant. Woo! 12 years. And all of a sudden, that man, it was just like, I swear I heard the Lord laughing at me. You know, all my fleshly anger just fell out my feet. And the Lord said, look, Alan, what fence you going to put up that can keep Satan out? What fence you going to put up? What armed guard is going to be able to keep Satan out? He said, miracles are only done by me. And the Lord said, preach yourself happy. So I said, well, I can do that. So we have the answer. I'm going to say that again so that the rest of you will amen. We have the answer. We are this, everything that we have lost as a country, we as the body of Christ possess. And it should be a marvel, to use his words, a marvelous light. It should be a marvelous light. Now, the first thing I want you to hear, first of all, is that I belong to a people. I belong. Everybody just say it with me if you're saved. If you're not saved, just don't say it. But if you are saved, say it. I belong to a people. Let's just say it like he wrote it. I belong to a special people. We are special people. See, we need to take some cues from the Jews. The Jews always have believed that they're special because God chose them. God told them, I'm going to bless the whole world through you. You're going to be my special. He could have chose anybody he wanted to. And the Jews are always going to be blessed because God chose them and they're his special people. And he made a promise to his friend Abraham and he don't break his promises. So I ain't never, if we start bombing Jerusalem from America, I'm moving to an island somewhere. Because God does not break his promises. They are especially people. You drop Jews anywhere in the world, and they'll wind up owning stuff because they're blessed of the Lord. And if you don't believe me, I don't care. You're wrong. You're just dead wrong. They're special. Look, they were chosen. They feel, that's why a lot of the world does not like Jews, is because they have a sense of privilege. They know they're special. Now they've lost their way and missed the Messiah, but they know that they're God chosen. Hosea, and God was going to take care of Hosea. In Hosea 1 and 2, he talks about that, you were my special people, and I told you, if you would just walk this way, you'd never experience what other countries experience. You'll never feel that, what other things are going to happen. It'll never happen to you, but you wouldn't. You walked your own way. And then he turns around because, why? Why does God always turn around? Because he remembers his covenant. And he remembered his promise to his friend Abraham. Look at Hosea 2:23. Look at it. Hosea 2:23. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth. I will have mercy on her. He who had not obtained mercy. Doesn't that sound like the same verse we just read? They hadn't obtained mercy, but I'm going to give them mercy. Then I will say to those who were my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are our God. Can we just say that? You are our God. We are His people. We are His own. Look at verse 9. I love the way he says it. Verse 9 that we just read said that His own special people. I'm special. Isn't that special? Do you understand that we are, I belong to something. I am part of something. I mean, we got people are crazy longing for what we have. They are crazy. I mean, you got people making millions of dollars on this Ancestry.com. Find out what your ancestry, the 23andMe thing. You know, and they see that, you see the commercial, and they say, I found where my strength came from because my ancestor was a woman leading the armies. And they said about the hat. I put the hat on and I felt good about myself. The guy doing the German dancing. And he said, I found out I was Irish. And I put on Irish thing, a Celt, and now I'm all dead. I mean, a change of clothes is changing our life. When I know, and you know, they got somebody over in Bombay, India, in a little room, just filling out that stuff for you. Yeah, here, man, you want to be Irish? Yeah, you a king? Yeah, whatever, that's what they doing. I guarantee you that's what they doing. I'm going to tell you, if I was evil, that's what I'd do. Me and the boys, we'd make millions off of y'all. I need to feel good about myself. Somebody love me. Well, here, you were a king, man. You're royalty. Here, we'll just run them off on the copy machine. And we feel some sense of perverted good about ourselves when God Almighty, the King of the universe, is saying, if you're one of mine, you're special. You belong. You belong to me. You're royal. I mean, they estimate 2 billion people watch that goofy wedding. If you want them, please don't tell me. Just don't tell me. Goofy wedding. Why? Because we all think they're royal. The royals. Can I tell you something? The king and queen of England is going to bow to my big brother, Jesus Christ. You want to know what your DNA is? If you're a Christian, come on now. Come on, you want to know what? Come on, look at me. Some of you, I don't know about it. Hey, you don't want to know what your DNA is? Well, look at David. Look at Paul. Look at Peter. All of that. Look at Jesus Christ. That's what runs through my veins. That's my DNA. I belong to something that the whole world is trying to stamp out, and they can't overcome us. We're outbreeding them, man. They can't stop us. I belong to a family that's going to rule the universe. And some stupid 23andMe can't give you that. You know they're making that stuff. How do they know what went on in Africa 2,000 years ago? Oh, this so-and-so. Hey, oh, it's yours. India, I'm telling you, I've seen the buildings. They just... Oh, anyway. Taking your money, just running up, and then they sell your credit card number to the Nigerians who are running up cards on you. If I belong, if I am saved in Christ, That means I belong. I belong. I belong. I belong to something. It means that I'm part of a family. Look, I'm part of a family. A great family. A family that you know, it a great family. I'm part of a family. I'm not alone. I mean, listen, I'm hard on females that come to my house. I am. I admit it. They say I'm too. But if a girl wants to date my sons, then what I have to do is I'm a little rough on them the first time, because if they don't come back, they are unworthy. If they can't handle a little pressure from dad, they are unworthy. Right? I don't apologize for that. I mean, listen, me and Amy have stopped. There's only 11 tickets into this family. And you're going to have to earn getting into our family, because our family is special in a lot of ways. We're special. I knew Emily, Micah's wife, wanted to get in the family bad, because even when Micah wasn't there, she'd bring us donuts every morning for breakfast, just thinking about you. And all the boys said, "Micah, you got to marry this girl, man. We like her." She said, and then, you know what, it tipped it over the edge. I kind of gave him a little nudge after this one. She brought me 3 different of my favorite flavors of Bluebell. I felt like it was the Lord speaking to me. Listen, everybody look at me. We have people that want to come to our house for family time just because they want to be a part of a family. Do you understand that we all have that in Christ? Just like last week, I told you that the Father sets the rules, and some of you do not feel the blessing of the Father because the Father in His house sets the rules in His house. And some of you aren't following the rules, like loving each other, being kind to each other, all these different things. God sets the rules in His house. Right? We had that already. I'm not alone. It's a privilege to be part of this family. It's a privilege to be part of this family. Man, can't you get happy about that? Can't you just celebrate? I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute. Celebrating it. When you're through Christ, when you understand that you belong, well, you understand that there's some privileges that come with the family. There's privileges that come with being in this family. Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. These are privileges that come in with being belonging. Look what it says. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That's a privilege of being part of the family. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's going to bring up my past? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You see, he's praying for us. Who also makes intercession, who shall separate us from the love of God? from the love of Christ shall tribulation or darkness or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Look at the next verse. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded. You know what that word persuaded means? I am locked in. You ain't moving that. All this other stuff I don't know about. But right here, that one, it's settled. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me take the list so that you'll take notes. I just picked one verse. I could have picked 100. This is one verse for belonging to our family, the benefits of being in our family. God is for me. I'm just taking them right out of that verse. God's for me. If you still think God's out to get you and wants to, I am convinced that most Christians think if you follow God, you're going to have to be miserable. That He wants to make you do whatever it is you're afraid of, that's what He wants to make you do. And He's a better dad than that. God is for me. Second one, I'm not condemned. So if I feel condemnation, it ain't from God. Right? He's just taking that out of that verse. How about this one? I'm justified. I've been made just, not by my own actions, by God. It is God who justifies. How about this one? I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not gonna pull a Rambo or a Star Wars and win right at the end when all hope is lost. We are more than conquerors. We not only conquer, we're more than that. We are more than that. The last one is I'm loved. I'm loved. Listen, I know that some of you have never had a daddy tell you he loves you. Well, Daddy God just told you He loved you. I just read it to you. He sent a letter saying, I don't care what you did in your past, nothing is going to separate you from my love. I belong. I am part of the family. I don't need something else. See, we're still trying to make something else make us feel good about ourselves. I don't need money. I don't need clothes. I don't need, I don't need to be thin. Now, I would like to be thin. But that ain't going to make me feel good. If that makes you feel better about yourself inside, I hear it on commercials all the time, take our pill, eat whatever you want, and you'll feel better about yourself. First of all, no. I've tried a couple of them, and Bluebell is on the not list, I promise you. But listen to what I'm saying to you. Only God can make you feel like that. Because if it's not God, it'll be something else next time. It will not satisfy. It'll always be something else. Do I want to be thinner? Yeah. I'd like to be thinner, but it don't matter. I belong. I'm part of the family. I'm loved just the way I am. Does he want me to be healthy? Yeah, but it ain't going to change my status. I am God's baby boy, and I like it. And if that offends you, I am. Excuse me, Dad. I got too close to you. Do you understand? I'm trying to preach you into happiness and hope and joy. I'm more than a conqueror. I am going to get to stand and watch Satan chained up. And first of all, we're all going to do that V8 thing where we hit our head going, what the heck is wrong with us? That's the guy? That's the one that caused all the trouble? That's the guy? Man, that's the guy that we wanted to hit. You know why we're going to do that? Because Satan is an impressive creature. Because he's going to be standing next to Jesus. And baby, there is no comparison. And we're going to get to laugh. And start, you know, I could see that I was sitting in my office, just started getting happy. I started waving my hand. Na, 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 na. Hey, goodbye. Wouldn't it be awesome if we all broke that out in heaven while Satan's getting thrown into the pit? Hey, goodbye. I'm going to start it. I'm going to start that. Y'all follow along with me. Why? Because I'm part of the family that wins. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nothing that has been created in heaven, hell, can conquer. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Now, when we get in trouble, everybody look at me. I got to move on. Got one more thing to say to you. When we get in trouble is when we start trying to pick up the weapons, our weapons, our thoughts, and fight Satan our way. That's when we get the snot beat out of us. And you go, well, I'm not a conqueror. Well, I bet somewhere you decided to take things into your own hand. See, the family don't. I watched my dad. My dad got us publicly humiliated in a meeting, in a city council meeting 150 years ago. I was a teenager. And this lady wanted to have beer and stuff sold, but she wanted to cherry pick it. Just right there that her family happened to own the... you see what I'm saying. And Dad said, no. Well, she started bringing up stuff from his high school days. Oh, man. If we're going to go back to high school, man, we all in trouble. I mean, maybe not Amy, but the rest of us are doomed, man. You know, I mean, Amy might get by, but I know the rest of you, y'all in trouble too. Well, see, I mean, just publicly. And man, I'm a teenager. And I literally said this because I want you to know teenagers are stupid. But what makes them dangerous is they think they're smart. Like they know something. And I sat down in the car with my dad. I said, Dad, guy, you'll appreciate this. I said, Dad, I remember it like it was yesterday. I said, Dad, I'm hacked off. Don't worry about it. Me and Wade and Scott and Brad, all of us, we'll take care of this. We'll egg her house and put 1 million rolls of toilet paper on her house. She'll never crawl out of that thing. My dad was real serious and he went, son, we need to pray for her. He said, just as confident... Just as confident as I'm talking to you, he said, when you raise your hand against the Lord's children, you are in trouble. He said, we don't need to do anything. We need to pray that God will be merciful. Of course, I was rebuked, and but I was still thinking, well, I just won't tell him I'll roll her house anyway, you know. When you understand that, see, it makes life a lot more simple. You don't have to worry about people getting to you. Because, hey, I'm part of the family, and my daddy's bigger than your daddy.
Amen.
And he watches out for kids. He cares about the prayers of a little unassuming lady who had stopped praying for something. That's the kind of Father we serve. Last thing you need to do as part of the family, it tells us in verse 9. It says in verse 9 that we should show forth the praise. Look at it. We're His special people. And the first thing we need to do is proclaim His praise. I started to break out. We need to dance more. Some of you need to break out and look, we have dance fever at my house, at Jamie's house. We'll break down. We can't pop the gator no more than that because something pop loose if we tried all that. But man, I can still do the electric slide. Yeah, I started to bring out Sister Sledge. We are family. Donna, you remember that, don't you? We are family. You know, we ought to sing more. We ought to celebrate. See, some of you are more worried about what other people think than praising God for what He has done. I'm part of the family, man. I win. There is nothing you can do that can take away my family inheritance. Woo! And so we ought to start dancing a little bit. We ought to sing. We ought to celebrate. Samuel, in 2 Samuel, write this down. We're not going to read it. 2 Samuel chapter 6. It is when David is bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. And the Bible says he took off his kingly robe. He took off his attitude. He took off his pride. He took off all, you know, all he had was what the men used to wear, like that long sleeping gown thing. That's basically what, and the Bible says he danced and twirled and jumped and celebrated and was joyous and had a song and he broke a sweat and he fed the whole, he went crazy. He fed the whole city. Why? Everybody look at me. Why? Because the presence of God was there. Somebody connect that dot for me, please. We ought to celebrate. Why? The presence of God is with us. Why? Because I'm part of the family. That's one of the things. He goes with me. He's going to take care of me. I don't have to worry. Be anxious for nothing. Why? Because Daddy is going to do something crazy. And so we ought to celebrate. We ought to sing. You ought to sing more. Quit worrying about your old stuffy religious self and just go off every once in a while. Just enjoy it. Celebrate. Why? Because I got Jesus in me. And I'm part of the family that wins. I get access. I get access because of who I am. See, some of you are like my boys. I'm going to tell this. Can I tell this quick story? I know. Look, the Baptists are already at the restaurant. Let's let them eat and get through there. Methodists, they were already there before the Baptists, so just listen to this quick story. It's a great story. I started laughing about it. After I cried, I started thinking about it. See, y'all are like my boys when I got a friend that's a business owner that has exploded, and he's wealthy, and he lives in South Lake, Texas, which is the wealthiest, supposedly. And he lives in one of them neighborhoods that has the big fences and the guards that you ain't getting in. Okay? We're coming through on vacation. And the place has a golf course. A lot of the golf pros live in this place. A lot of celebrities and stuff. The Jonas Brothers. They used to live. They have a house in this neighborhood. And so I'm on vacation with my 11 sons. Did we have 11 then? It was just 10, wasn't it? Yeah, that was before Matthew slipped in. But anyway, we thought we were finished. So I have my 15-passenger van and a U-Haul. Okay? And so we drive up. We drive up to the gate. And the boys instantly get quiet. You can tell they feeling it. You know, they like, ooh. I drive up and here comes this little short guard. He goes, sir? You can tell he's checking out my vehicle. You're like, no, you ain't getting in. You better be a yard laborer or something. You know, I said, sir, I'm Mr. Hickman. Mr. Hickman, he went, Alan Hickman? I said, yes, that is me. He said, we've been expecting you, Mr. Hickman. Come on in. And he presses a button, this big, huge gate opens up, and we go, and it's cobblestone streets. So we had unloaded. I love it. It's awesome. This is so awesome. We had unloaded the U-Haul because we were all going to play golf. So there was nothing in the U-Haul but the golf clubs. And so we're on this cobblestone street, and that U-Haul, bam, 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 bam. And we're driving up, and there's Bentleys, there's, you know, cars that I can't pronounce, and cars that had doors open the wrong direction, you know, all this kind of, and the boys, there was a parking lot way down from the clubhouse. They said, just park here, Dad, just park here. Hey, Dad, no, man, don't, no, Dad. I mean, I can hear Mike in my mind. Dad, please, just park down there. Don't drive up under the cover. I'm saying, no way am I not driving up under the cover. No way. Man, I belong here. And so I drive my 15-passenger van and then the U-Haul, and all these little guys run out. Said, oh, I said, I'm Mr. Hickman. Oh, yes, Mr. Hickman. You got a group, don't you? Yes, I do. They take the golf clubs, they're cleaning them, they're caring them for the boys and all that. I want them to know that's the way Dad wants to treat you, and some of you are ashamed of it. You won't celebrate it. You don't feel it because you don't celebrate it. You can't even lift your hands when she was saying, I am thankful for all you've done. Some of you just... Well, I got to tell you, it gets better, man. So we go, Terry called me, hey, man, I'm running late a few minutes. So we go out to the terrace, the veranda. And we lose Nathan. We're standing out there looking at these $20, $30 million homes across the lake, across the golf course, and we're, you know, and we look over, and Nathan has crawled up into, there's a table with three adults sitting there, and he's crawled up into the fourth chair, and he is just, he's eating their salsa and chips. I kid you not. When my wife saw that, she turned to me and went, oh my God, Alan. I said, it must be complimentary, baby. I don't know. So I walk over there, and it is the Jonas Brothers' parents and their manager. So we sit down and just start having like we belong, because we do belong, because a man paved the way for us to be there. They ain't no more famous than me. They eat chips and sausage just like I do, baby. Why can't we celebrate what the King of the Universe has done for? The family we're in. Here's your conviction statement. Everybody looking? I'm going to end with this. David danced with all his might because he was celebrating the presence of God. To those who believe, what I'm talking about, something inside of you is smiling. The Spirit of God is going, yeah. But to those who don't believe, it's foolishness and offensive. There's some in right now, or man, I wish this would finish. Man, this is silly. What is he talking about? Well, to those who don't believe, it is offensive and it's foolishness. But to those of us who believe, it is precious. It's awesome. I am never going to be alone. And there's some of you that feel alone and you feel depressed and you feel like there's nobody that loves you and you're a Christian and it's tragic. Some of you have been coming to church and you don't know Christ. If it's this kind of preaching and reading the Word is foolishness to you, the Word says you don't believe. You need to check your relationship with God. Todd, come on. You need to check your relationship with God. If you're okay, everybody look at me now. If you're okay with mistreating God's children, I'm not even talking about the world. Like you have no problem mistreating your husband and your wife. And you're both Christians. You have no problem mistreating children or lying or cheating or stealing. You have no problem with that. Man, you need to check and see if the Holy Spirit, because every time I come close to those, man, something rises up in me. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. That's not the way the family does business. It's not my call whether you're saved or not. But all I'm telling you is what the Word said. He said, to those who don't believe, it's foolishness. I'm just tired of, and the Lord brought back several times. I think Satan was trying to minister to one of my children, and they just weren't happy. And I can't tell you how that breaks my heart as a father to see my children miserable. Of course, I responded probably in more flesh than I should have. Well, I'll make you miserable. I can take away everything good if you want to be miserable. Why in the world? You're more than a conqueror. I don't have to put up with the lies of the devil. Satan is a liar. And the one thing he tries to get us to do, please hear me, he tries to get us to believe we are who we are not. And that God is who he is not. Are you hearing me? Is that not what he did right at the first? He said, Eve, God's holding out on you.